What's up, guys? Andrew's podcast. My name is Salman Ali at Salman Ali NBA on Twitter. Here joined by Forrest Walker at Do Nots on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm glad to be back. I love it here.
It's fun here. It is fun here. Real quick, if you guys enjoy the content that we put out on this channel, please go ahead and subscribe and hit that like button, because it really does help the channel grow and encourage us to put more content out for you guys. Hit the notification bell to know when we drop new videos, whether that's a podcast or a clip from the show. All that above helps. Back to the show. So we are going to do more of a trade deadline preview again today. But first, I want to talk about some polarizing tweets I sent out yesterday.
Let's do it.
Okay. This is probably the most blowback I've had on a tweet in years. I think since the last time I suggested the Rockets need to trade Christian Wood and focus on making Şengün their franchise player, that got a lot of heat. The time I suggested they should trade the pick that ended up being Jabari Smith for Ben Simmons, that got a lot of heat. That aged terribly, by the way.
Yeah, you're like one for two so far.
Well, I'll land the plane here. I also got a lot of heat when I suggested that Jalen Green didn't strike me as someone who would ever be good enough to be a lead ball handler. So two for three, right? So I'm going to go ahead and read these tweets out so you guys know what I'm talking about, because not everybody actually, you know, crazy, right? Like, no, not everybody has Twitter, right? Not everybody has Twitter. Not everybody reads Twitter, even if they have it. Okay, so Rockets play last night. And and they're down by like 28. They catch up. They make a lead with this small lineup, but it's like the 5 or 6 minute mark, and I'm like, okay, where's Alper and Şengün? He hasn't come back yet, right? And then I tweet this: there is no reason that both Jayshon Tate and Dylan Brooks should be playing crunch time minutes over Alper and Şengün. Completely inexcusable. That's tweet one. There's three tweets, by the way.
Okay.
Tweet two is: Alperen Şengün is the clear franchise guy in Houston, but gets treated like a sixth man sometimes. It's so bizarre. If he was the third overall pick instead of 16th, none of it would be happening. He's played well enough to get the benefit of the doubt on nights like this. That's tweet number two. And then tweet number three is quoting tweet number two. It's saying, I'm tempted to believe at Red94's theory on nights like this. The organization keeps fighting the inevitability of Şengün as their franchise guy. It's almost as if they'd rather crash and burn on whatever their original vision of the team was instead of course correct. So that got a lot of pushback. Like, let me see how many. Yeah, like a lot. A lot. It's not just the quote tweets. It's the comments. It was a lot. And it was fun. I'm not gonna lie. It was fun to get people riled up like that. Like, it's been a minute. I'm just gonna explain my rationale for tweeting this, Forrest. You pop in whenever you want, right? Whenever you want, cut me off. Say whatever the hell you want. I just want to explain my rationale here.
Yeah, let's hear it.
First, I want to point out, I use the phrase "tempted to believe" deliberately, because I don't 100% believe that, right? Like. But I'm not going to lie, there's a part of me that always looks at the organization sideways with their usage of Şengün. Like, this is the same organization that had two bigs ahead of him in the starting lineup like 2 years ago, like in Christian Wood and Daniel Theis. This is the same organization that started Bruno Fernando over him to start last season. This is the same organization that feverishly chased Brook Lopez to be their starting center this offseason. This is the same organization that continuously goes away from Şengün in key crunch time possessions. This is the same organization that's already been tied with the following name to the trade deadline: Clint Capella, Robert Williams, Daniel Gafford. Two of those guys are starting center guys, right? Like, starting level guys, right? You're telling me that I should feel secure in how they use Alperen Şengün? It took until his third season in the NBA that they were comfortable making him a starter, and they weren't really comfortable. They had no other option, right? And let me just address this, like, a couple of things that I saw last night. First is a variation of the following: he isn't above anybody on the team. Are you serious right now? Is Dylan Brooks the one with 1.8 million votes for the All-Star game? Is Jayshon Tate the one that every NBA media member talks about weekly on their podcast? Like, is he the one that current and former players keep referring to as quote-unquote special? Like, get out of my face with that bull that he's not above anybody on the team. I don't care if he had a first half from hell. Şengün has done more than enough to finally get the benefit of the doubt for this organization, and they're not giving it to him. This is not the same as benching, as Ime Udoka benching Jalen Green in fourth quarters. Jalen is still trying to prove to everyone that he's a positive basketball player. The organization does not have a history of undermining him. This is not Jabari Smith. Jabari Smith was bordering on looking like a bust last year, and he still remained a starter above Tari Eason, which he shouldn't have, arguably. Don't give me this. I'm well aware of quote-unquote riding the hot hand. I know what that means. I'm well aware. I've been around the sport since I was two. Okay? I promise I know what that means. I have no problem with Ime riding a lineup that works up until midway through the fourth quarter. Because at the 5 or 6 minute mark, Şengün should have been back in that game. He should have been back in that game. Don't tell me you would have rather had Jayshon Tate taking step back threes in crunch time possessions of a professional basketball game over Alperen Şengün doing literally anything. Doing literally anything. Listen, like, Şengün is the guy. He's the guy. I know it's painful for a lot of you guys to come around to this. I don't know why it is, but it's seemingly painful. I still see it. I don't know why I still see it. Boo who? You don't do that with your best player. You let him figure it out because he gives you the best chance of winning basketball games, and he's going to have to learn how to win in those situations anyways. Like, I don't care if he was having a rough night. He is still the most positive player on the team by a wide margin. Like, Ime would have never done that with Fred VanVleet if he was having a bad game. So don't tell me that he doesn't already give special treatment to certain guys on the team. Don't give me that. This guy does not get treated like a budding franchise player that he clearly is, in my opinion. Sorry, all right. That's all I had to say.
All right, so here's my response to this. It doesn't really matter what the fans of the Rockets think about him. And I understand it matters when they're in your mentions. I get it. I've been yelled at fans before, too, for primarily Westbrook-related takes. But so I understand that it can be very tempting to take seriously, or at least take personally those who are complaining to you. But ultimately, they're not the ones who make decisions about Alperen Şengün. Apart from, I guess, the fan voting for the All-Star game, in which he got 1.8 million votes, whatever that translates to in terms of actual number of people voting for All-Star game, which I don't know, no one does, but. The people who do matter what they think about Alperen Şengün is the Rockets organization. And your worry about, do people not understand that he's the franchise player? Do the Rockets, does that organization, does that coaching staff, does that front office understand that he is their franchise player? As you say, he is the only player anybody talks about on the team. He's literally the only guy anyone's talking about. The only other player anyone talks about is Jalen Green because they're worried that he sucks. Right? And we can get to Jalen Green later. But Şengün is obviously the best player on the team at this time. I can't rule out that someone else might supersede him eventually because the world contains many things. But right now, he's obviously the best player on the team. And that includes Fred VanVleet, and that includes Dylan Brooks, and that definitely includes Jayshon Tate. All of whom I love like cousins. However, they're not as good as Alperen Şengün. And it is troubling.
My cousins, like, can shoot better than that, by the way. I just want to say, like, and they would never take a step back three in a professional basketball game.
I think a lot of people's cousins can shoot better than the 2024 Rockets.
Okay,
but
fair enough.
But what I want to say is that there are disquieting signs that they still would really prefer not to rely on Şengün. That even to this date. That, like, they still have a tendency to sit him in big moments. They don't want to go to him all the time. And I don't know what that's about. I mean, is it just he's, like, not a guy that they think is cool? Is it something that we don't know about, like, behind the scenes when they're in practice? Is, like, is there something if the coaching staff sees in Shingun that they mistrust him about? Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, is it his defense? Are they, do they think he's never really going to be, like, an elite defender or something? Which, probably not. But I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but they obviously do not trust him yet. I mean, and it might be as simple as the fact that coaches just don't trust young players. They just, like, and hopefully it's just that, right? That's, like, Udoka's a coach, he's going to play his vets. Vets do, in fact, they do, in fact, have some skills. They know things that younger players don't. They're cooler under pressure. I get it. So hopefully it's just literally Udoka being like, I want my guys who've been in the league for 10 years. You know, I want these guys who've played hundreds of games to be out here because they're going to be unflappable in a way that, like, a second or third year player isn't. If it's just that, that's annoying, but I'm not, like, worried about the team in the same way as if they're just like, I don't know, man. I don't think Shingun's got it like that.
Yeah, I'm glad you said this, because it's not just this one game, man. It's a collection of games, right? Whether that's him getting benched in the fourth or him just not getting the ball in the fourth, right? There's a lack of confidence that, or, like, I don't want to say lack. He is leading the team in usage, right? The team does seem to like him a lot, right?
Yeah. No,
you're damn right he better be, right? You're damn right. But, like, the team does seem to like him and embrace him, right? But there are moments where he gets slighted in a way where I'm like, if this was, like, Luka Doncic, would the team be treating him like this? Would the coach be treating him like this? If this was Joel Embiid in his third season, they did not get bench him like this. Like, this is not something that happens. I don't care if it's Ime. I don't care. Like, this is not normal. Like, first of all, like, people bring up the Kevin McHale benching James Harden situation to me. Like, first of all, can you guys, like at least ask how I felt when that happened? I did not like that. I was not a fan of Kevin McHale benching James Harden in that late game situation. Like, it may have worked, but I'm not a process over, I'm like a process over results guy, right? Like, just because it worked doesn't mean it was the move I would have done. Right, when it's your best player, I think you keep him in the game. I don't care what's working. I think you always put him back in the game. And, like, you let him figure it out. And if you lose with him, you lose with him. That's fine. You sleep better. You sleep better at night knowing you did the right thing. Right? I don't care if you lose a game that way. Because these guys have to get reps in these situations, man. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to make the play-in tournament, whatever. They have to learn how to win. They have to learn how to fight through adversity, yeah. A bad game.
Yeah, which is something I was thinking about earlier today and last night after that. I don't want to call it a fun game, but it was a game.
It was pretty fun. It was a pretty fun game. I'm not going
to
lie.
It's cool to come back from a big deficit. Yeah. And in the end, like, what the Rockets do this year in terms of making the playoffs or not doesn't really matter. Like that's all secondary. Like, it's good if they make the play-in in the playoffs, but what's the point of that is that they want to get this experience and development for their players. That's the goal this season. They're not contenders yet, and until such time as if ever they become contenders, the goal is improvement. Whether it's improvement of individual players, improvement of the team writ large, what have you. They're trying to get better right now. And a big space they need to get better at is that their young players, being young, aren't good in crunch time. They're not good in high-pressure situations. You can look at the team stats and see this. They have, like, a +2 point differential, and their net rating is, like, +1-ish, right? Like, they're positive in their net rating and all those metrics. Not a lot positive, but a little positive. They have the statistical makeup of a team that should be better than they are. But because they stay in games. They don't get blown out in very many games, and they stay in games. Even when they lose, it's usually, like, not that far behind. They fight back into games. But they're not good at winning these close games. They're not good at winning in overtime. And it's not weird. This is normal for young teams to be this way, to have to learn it. But they have to learn this stuff. They have to go through these nasty situations. They have to feel the pressure, and honestly, they have to lose in the pressure before they can learn how to win under pressure. And it is, like, I understand the coaches want to win all these high pressure games. Great. I don't understand how the lineups is going to be your older guys who are not as good as your younger guys, right? And again, I understand that coaches trust veterans, but you need to get these young players reps in these situations. You need to let them undergo the trial by fire. Like, yeah, just any minute. Like, I know that there's plenty of debate to be had over whether just, like, any given NBA minutes are better for development than not, right? A lot of people are like, well, it doesn't matter how bad the guy is. Play him when he's young. Keep playing him, even if he loses game after game. That's not always the case. But these guys have shown a lot of promise, and you need to let them work through this stuff and figure out how to do this. And I know they need to have, like, Van Vliet out there as an instructive and calming influence when they're doing this. They need the vets to also play, but they also need to let their in particular, the guy who is most likely to be with the team long term. And that's the real thing, is that Şengün, of all the guys on the team, of everyone, of every player on the Rockets right now, Şengün is clearly the most likely to be with the Rockets in 5 years. Whether he's their best player or not, he's currently their best player, and therefore he's the one that they're overwhelmingly likely to keep around. You have to prioritize his development over stuff like, do I think I have 5% better chance of beating the Nets on a Saturday night?
Right, like, and this argument cuts both ways. Like, he is objectively the guy who is more likely to help you win the game, the close game. Because this is not Jalen Green, where he's probably objectively not going to help you in those close games, yeah. Right? Right? Like, this guy will help you win the game, right? And you keep him in until he gets cold, and guess what? He's going to miss 2 free throws at the end of the game. He hasn't shot a shot in, like, 6 minutes, right? Like I don't get this. I don't know. Ime has done a very good job this year, right? I want to be fair to him, right?
Undeniably. He's
done a very good, yeah, undeniably done a great job. Undeniably recognized Şengün, started feeding Şengün, started shifting the offense more to him, right? And I give him credit for that, because that last guy didn't do that, right? So, like, he gets that nod. But, like, I'm sorry. I'm gonna criticize him when I see something stupid. And this is something stupid, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, even just on really, like, facile arguments, just showcase your guy some more. He's the closest guy you have to being, like, an all-star level player currently, right? Like, why don't you just want him to get more points? Get him more stats, man. The more stats you can get this guy, the more people are going to pay attention to your team, which that's cool too, right? Like, do you want... I don't know. It is weird. It does seem like... I don't know if this is, I don't know if this is anybody, like, actively trying to be anti-Şengün in an organizational sense or anything, but I do also get the vibe sometimes that the Rockets org is like, really? This guy?
Right. No, like, how do you not, right? Like, how do you, like, they're going after Clint Capela. Why?
You can't, what are you going to do with Clint? You gonna bench Şengün? No. You're going to bench Barry? No. You're going to bench Clint?
Williams,
definitely
too.
Not.
Right, like, Robert Williams, like these guys are good enough to justify, like, oh, we can, like, bench Şengün for a fourth quarter. Like, I feel like it's going to happen more if you go get a guy like that. Right? That's my fear.
It is somehow a blessing in disguise that Jock Landale, or as the beloved radio crew for the Rockets say, Jacques Landale, he's not good. I'm sorry, Jacques, but we need to talk. But yeah, it's actually kind of good that he's not reliable at all, because then they have to actually play Şengün, and they can't just rely on, like, guy who, you know, grabs a rebound and puts it back.
Right, and, like, I guess the way Ime gets around that is he plays small, right? And it's like, first of all, Şengün is small, right? He can play. He can play in the small units. If you want to play small, have Şengün out there. He's 6'8", right? I don't know how. Nobody knows how tall he is, really. But, like, whatever.
No one knows how tall anyone is in the NBA.
Right,
they all
but
lie.
Like, he's not a 7-footer, is what I'm saying, right? And so, like, you can go out there and play, and he runs the fast break with you. He helps you play the way you want to play. He's not worse of a floor spacer than Jayshon Tate. Don't give me that. Like, don't give me. I just, I don't know. Like, okay. Like, I don't want to overreact to that. It's just the reaction that I got. I felt like I was being gaslit. Like, you guys haven't been seeing this organization operate specifically in regards to Şengün like I have. Like, have we not been seeing this for 3 years? Like, is it wrong for me to be skeptical? Like, I don't know why people like Raha, Red94, like, he displays his skepticism and he gets similar pushback, right? And I look at that and I'm like I kind of understand where he's coming from. I'm not always on Raha's side with this stuff, but like with this stuff, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I kind of get why you would side-eye the organization with their usage of this guy. He's not even like on the posters, right? Like, something as simple as that, right? Like, it's still Jalen Green bobblehead night. Like, why? You want to see him bobble the ball out of bounds? Like, I don't get it.
It really does seem like Jalen, like Alperen being clearly better than Jalen is just, it just is like crossing wires in people's heads. It's just not what anybody's ready for. And all the wonky type guys, all like the yous and me's of the world who like look at stats and read blogs and record podcasts and stuff, all of us, we were all like the night that Şengün was drafted, I remember like us and our ilk being like, all the advanced stats suggest he's really good. This guy's a really good guy to watch out for. And so, like, a certain cadre was like, yeah, we've been suspecting this the whole time. And then everyone else is like, but why would you? This is crazy. This doesn't make any sense.
No, you're right.
But yeah,
right.
Here we are.
No, yeah, you're right. Like, I guess that's why we're not opposed to it, right? We were kind of seeing this coming, right? We're not seeing this coming. Like, we're not as surprised by it. But at the same time, like, we're also watching these games. I'm assuming everybody else is watching these games, right? Like, now it's an even playing field. These aren't like, oh, I have a unique advantage because I'm actually watching BSL games. Like, no, we're all watching the Rockets together, right? Like, I feel like at a certain point, we should be collecting the same data from watching the games, right? And the data is telling us that this guy is the best player they drafted in 2021 by a wide margin, right?
And probably any successive year.
No, right, yeah, I know. Yeah. But, like, for the specific argument, like it's just, I don't know. Like, I really do think it's messing with their heads how good he is. Like, it's not how good he is. Like, how good he is in relation to Jalen, right? Like, I think they, a lot of them kind of expected this Jalen breakout, which I, again, thought that was ill-advised to expect, right? Whatever the case, they expected it. It's not happening. And they're like, what? What the fuck, man? It's like, yeah. I mean, like, he's 21, and he's not been better to this point than Şengün, right? Like, up until this season has not been better than him. But let's just for a second, let's talk about Jalen Green, because he actually has been playing better.
He balled out of control recently the last couple of games, yeah.
Right,
that,
yeah.
That's really cool. It's fantastic to see.
Here's the thing, Forrest. I think people who see us on Twitter, or they listen to bits of this podcast, whenever this podcast gets clipped, they're going to see it, and they're gonna be like, oh, these guys just hate Jalen. It's like, no. We don't hate Jay. We want this team to succeed.
Yeah, I want to put this out there right now. The absolute best case scenario for the Rockets, for Jalen Green, for Alperen Şengün, for you, for me, and every Rockets fan is that Jalen Green reaches All Star talent level. That is absolutely the best case scenario.
Can I top you? The best case scenario is he's better than Şengün because Şengün is this good.
Right? Yes. Yeah, right. If he manages to be better than this, unbelievable. They have, like, two incredible players.
I would love it, because that means they got, like, a Jordan, right? That would be amazing. Like, why would I not want that? Why would Forrest not want that? We're fans of this team.
Oh, I'd love that. Jalen is really fun. He's a fun player. He's a fun guy. It would make the Rockets an incredibly fun and really good team. Everything is perfect there. Yeah,
we're not rooting against him.
I would give so much for Jalen to be better than Şengün. I agree with you. Like, it would be a huge victory for literally everybody. Maybe less so Şengün, but in the end more so Şengün, because if they have two guys of that caliber, they have a really clear and realistic path to a championship. Cool. I love that. Let's do it. Jalen, keep playing like this. Absolutely fantastic to see. Love to see him going out there and racking up like 30, 40 points. If he can keep doing this, that's incredible. I want that. I want that. So for everyone out there clipping things, I want Jalen Green to keep having games like this. I want him to keep looking like this. I want his confidence to improve. I want his skills to improve. And I want him to put everyone who doubted him, including me, to shame.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I want to be wrong about this so badly. I want to be wrong about this so badly. I am not here rooting for my takes to be correct. I'm rooting for this basketball team. I want to see this team win a championship. Screw me. Like, that's all I want. Right? Like, it's all I want. I don't want this team to do anything else. So why would I not want Jalen Green to be the best basketball player he could possibly be? And, like, he's been playing really well. He's been hitting his shots. We've been talking about forever how that's really the thing. That's really the thing with him. Yeah, like, he's just not – the biggest reason he's not been good is he's not been hitting his shots. Now, there are other things. His handle is pretty weak right now, right? Like, I think it's going to take a lot of work. I think the playmaking is still not where you need – he's still throwing the ball to invisible players sometimes, right? Like, that's gotta stop, right? But here's my thing with this, right? Like, even after this hot stretch – my opinion about him being, like, the future shooting guard for this team, I really have not wavered. Like, I don't think that's happening, right? Like, I think Whitmore is just that much better. It just seems. As a prospect, he just seems that much better, right? And physically developed than Jalen. And I think defensively will long-term be better, right? Like, that's just my hunch watching. Because at 19, I remember Jalen, and this looks better. Right.
So let me put two things out there. One is that, yeah, defensively, I don't see it even, like, it's very clear that Whitmore is getting better defensively than Jalen. Like, which is not a knock on Jalen Green whatsoever. Like, plenty of, the kind of players that he plays like are pretty much always not great defensively for a lot of reasons. And that's fine. That's just part of the deal.
He's kind of short frame, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of a shorter, slight, like, score-first player. Whatever, it's fine. It's fine that he's not going to be, like, a defensive stalwart, because usually there's a trade-off between these things. However, Cam Whitmore, and also shout-outs to Amen Thompson as well, his co-rookie, because I'm going to get to this point in a second, is that he's a rookie, all right? And he's looking like a positive player on the floor when he's playing. And as I've hammered many times before, rookies are bad. They're just almost always bad. Like, you almost universally, even really good players in their rookie season are minus players. So being even a slightly plus player in your first year, looking as good as Cam looks right now, is a really good sign for his long-term development. Like, it's very enthusing that he looks like he understands and belongs in the NBA in his first year in the season. I don't want people to forget that. Rookies have a hard time, and anyone who's not having a hard time, I mean, part of it is perhaps he's in a great situation, but that's only going to help him. It's very good that he and Amen look this good this early. But that is that honestly bolsters your point that, yeah, that's that's worrying if you're Jalen Green, because Cam looks like a guy that they're probably going to want to be their starting two guard at some point in the near future.
No, right. Like, and that's why I think really, and I said this last night too. Wasn't as controversial as the other tweets, but still got some buzz. Like, I think long term, Jalen's best pathway to stardom, specifically on this team, but on other teams, is at the point guard position. Right at that, if he's a point guard long term, right. First of all, he's very, 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 very far from that. Right, like he's very, very, very far from that. We're talking a long-term project, like 3 or 4 years from now. If there's a chance of him being that type of impact player, it's at the point guard position, because he has a plus size at that position. He has a decent passing feel, right? And he's not as efficient scoring the basketball as Whitmore, so I just don't think it's going to happen there. So, like, if it's going to happen anywhere, and defensively, by the way, he's not going to have to defend the bigger wings if he's playing point guard, right? So, like, these are reasons why I kind of think that's possible. It's like a 10% outcome, right, for him.
Yeah, I mean, and he'd also better hope that Thompson doesn't learn how to shoot. Mm-hmm. So, right. I wonder, that's
his competition, though, right? Like, his competition is a man, and that's going to be hard, but the leg up that he has on a man is he can shoot.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of wonder a little bit if he has become aware that his situation is increasingly precarious, because it does seem like he's going a little harder, which he should be. Like, I mean, this is obviously just total speculation, but, like, I wonder if his starting position has become in doubt in the Rockets organization. I wonder if they've sat it down and talked to him about it, because, yeah, he needs to play like this if he wants to keep starting, if he wants to keep being on the posters for the Houston Rockets. He has to do this. He doesn't have a choice.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. If he wants to keep having bobblehead nights, he'd better keep playing like, which, great. If that's what it takes to motivate him, awesome. Good. Do it. You know, be an incredible scorer. Keep the dogs at his heels at bay. And, you know, keep the team scoring. Because, boy, they sure need some scoring on that team.
No, they do. They do. And, like, Jaylen is, like, one of their best paths to getting there. But, like, the problem is it's just not efficient scoring, right? Like more often than not, it hasn't been efficient scoring. The last two games have been kind of different. But this is kind of been the pattern with Jaylen. You'll have stretches where he is efficient, then you'll have stretches where he's not efficient. And it's like, it feels like the stretches where he is efficient seem to be enough for your organization to be like, okay, he can keep a starting spot, right? Like, it's like enough fuel for them to, like, okay, the flashes, they keep us here, right? And I mean, this, we kind of transitioned from this to the trade deadline. Where are you on Jaylen at the deadline? Do you think that's even, like, a remote possibility?
No, they're not going to trade him. Why would they trade? Okay. I mean, look, I've listened to friends of the program talking about it. You know, and many people have talked about this. And I do agree that it'll be interesting to see what they do at the trade deadline. If they trade Jaylen Green, I would be phenomenally surprised. They really seem to want him to succeed, which is good. They should want him to succeed. But, yeah, that doesn't sound at all like they're going to trade him, because the offers that they would get for him would not be good enough. I mean, they might trade him if they get, like, an incredible offer, if they get absolutely blown away, but that's not going to happen. That's not on the table. If it is, fine. Come get me. Come let me hear about it. I deserve it. If the Rockets end up trading Jaylen Green for a star-level player, get my ass. No problem.
Right.
You win. But it's not going to happen. They're not going to trade him for anything less than, like, an all-star level player. And they're not going to get that offer. So, no, he's not getting traded this in, like, 3 weeks or whatever.
I hope that reluctance to trade him is coming from a place of self-confidence and not self-preservation. Right? Like, that's my hope. I don't want them to make the wrong basketball decision for political reasons. That's my fear. Right? Like, it's, oh, because he was taken number two overall, and I don't want them to double down on this. If he's not a hit, and you know it, like, trade him whenever you view his value to be the highest. Right? Like, I think that's what I would advise the organization to do. But that said, if there are people in the organization that still believe, like, hey, I still think this guy will get to a place of being one of the best players on a championship team. Okay. Then keep it going. Yeah. But like, right now, it's hard not to acknowledge it looks a little precarious. Right? And so I would at least listen to offers at the deadline. But I'm with you. I would be floored if he gets moved.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do it. I mean, I do think that long-term, the most likely scenario is that he gets traded at some point in the next, like, few years. But it's, you know, that's even if he, like, shapes up or whatever. Like, even if Jaylen Green looks pretty good, It just seems like they're gonna have to lose like two or three of these guys because that's just how the salary cap works. So I think most likely he's going to be in the two or three who are just like not really. They'll get better return for trading him than they will get on court return for retaining him. Like if Cam ends up better than him, which seems quite possible if not likely, then yeah, you know, you got to move some of them. So you just got to figure out which ones you're going to move, really.
Yeah, Cam.
I know it sucks to hear.
No, I mean Cam's just a better prospect. I mean, I don't want to dance around this. Like that's what I feel. I feel like that's what most people feel when they watch the Rockets, right? It's not like it's just so. Sometimes you don't have to like dance around this. It's just kind of obvious. Like we're all watching the same games. They're playing in the same contexts, right? Like it's not like this is not like college basketball where these guys are on different teams. It's like, oh, one guy has better floor spacing, one guy has coaching, right? Like it's like these guys are both playing in the same environment, and so one guy is playing much much better in that environment, minute for minute, right? So.
Yeah.
I just tend to believe it's a better prospect. So like we'll just see if he ever gets to a point where like where if the organization ever gets to a point where they feel like trading him within the next 12 months. I think actually the date I would keep an eye on is not this offseason. It's actually next February, right? Because yeah. I don't think he's getting an extension this summer unless it's like really team friendly. I don't think he's going to sign a team friendly extension. And I think next trade deadline. The organization is going to be like, hey, we don't want to play the restricted free agency game with this guy. He's played well enough by that point. I think he'll play better in year four. I think he'll play better in year four by February at that point to where you can trade him for a little bit more than what you can trade him for right now. So if I were a betting man, that's what I would bet on February 2025. But we're in January/February of 2023 or 2024. Let's talk about what Houston's objectives are if not trading Jalen Green. Like, what's a goal for this organization for us?
Well, they got to use that Victor Oladipo contract. That's, to me, number one, because if you don't do anything with it, it's just going to fart away, and it's not particularly useful for them to do that. As we've mentioned many times before, they're not trying to be an under-the-cap team. They're kind of past that. That's a rebuilding phase, and they're now in the tooling phase, right? So they don't want to be under the cap. It doesn't help them be under the cap. So they are going to want to use that contract because it's an expiring, which is not good for them, but it is going to be good for someone else. And if nothing else, that's filler. That salary filler they can use in a different trade so that they can have longer-term money so they can keep themselves operating nearby cap. So they got to move him. He's probably going to have to be packaged. I mean, this is what everyone says, but it's just simply the truth. Like, him plus, let's say, Jacques Landale and maybe...
Jae Sean Tate.
Yeah, Jae Sean Tate is he's a real target for getting moved also because he's not on the same timeline as the other guys are. He's
good.
He's good, but he's not great.
Right.
You know? So he's actually useful for other teams. And those minutes are minutes that could be used for all kinds of things.
Let's be clear about the guy who actually will get this minute. Those minutes.
Yeah. All right. So, cool. That's great. That's pretty clear. They have three guys who are big time. The guys who don't trade. They have some assets which look kind of nice. The Nets picks are looking better and better by the day. So that's pretty cool. They could actually get someone back who could be useful. The question is, the two questions. What does the team need, and what does the team think they need?
Okay, so I agree with you. One of those goals is definitely trading Victor Oladipo, 100%. The Rockets making a deal at the deadline is probably off the table in Vegas because it's so obvious that they're going to make a deal at the deadline because of Victor Oladipo's contract. It is a timeline, right? So they're going to make some sort of move. I think another goal is probably going to be getting a long-term salary that helps you, a long-term positive salary, right? So yeah. A good player, basically. Like a good player that you can maybe move in the future if you need to move it to aggregate salary, as you said. If a star player becomes available or just to have that contract, right? I think that's the goal. I think exploring, at the very minimum, Jae Sean Tate's trade value, right? I think you want to see what you can get for him, right? If you can get 2 seconds, and you can use those 2 seconds in a trade where you move Lonsdale and Oladipo together, maybe that helps you get a starter-level player, you know. But to answer your 2 questions, what I think they should go after is, like, I think they need shooting pretty badly. I think they need kind of perimeter help, ball handling help. Van Vliet's just doing too much. Just doing too much. You need some help.
They need a real backup point guard.
Right. Like, I like Aaron Holiday. Aaron Holiday is a little frustrating at times as a decision maker, right? I think I would like them to go after someone like Malcolm Brogdon. Like, I've said this on the last episode. He is my favorite trade target for the Rockets. I wanted them to get him last summer, but his contract fits. He's long-term salary. He's good. He can kind of start for you in a pinch. So if you want to...
too good.
Yeah, that's true, right? Like, he can also, like... if you want to do the whole bench Jalen thing and you don't want to do the sensible thing, which is, like, start Tari Eason or Cam Whitmore, maybe you can just start Brogdon, right? You can do it that way. You can sell it to him easier because it's a vet, right? So like that's a name. I like the idea of them going after like a wingish type guy, right? Because you can get shooting and ball handling there too, like Jeremy Grant. I like. I actually do kind of like the idea of Harrison Barnes. You know, I'm not sure how much I'd be willing to give, and I'm not sure how that trade would happen, but I think that's a decent target. Like, I think he helps you in the same areas. And if you need to get a big, which this is where it, to answer your second question, I think they want a big. I think these targets are the guys they're actually looking at, like Clint Capella, your Robert Williams, your Daniel Gaffords. If you need a big, I think they should go back to the John Collins well, right? Because that's a flexible big that can play with Shingun, right? He can provide floor spacing, and he can be backup center, right?
Yeah, they need a backup center. They do not need a starting center, but they do need a backup center.
Yes. And, like, my fear is that they're going to go get a starting center at the deadline, right? Like, that's my fear. And I'm not saying starting center as in, like one of the best centers in the NBA, but, like, my fear is they're going to go get a Clint Capella type or a Robert Williams type, right? And, like, those guys have justifiable cases in someone like Ime Udoka, who's defensively focused coach, to end games. And I don't want that to happen. Right, I don't want this coaching staff to have an excuse to bench Shingun in fourth quarters. Because again, we talked about why all the positive reasons why Shingun should be playing in fourth quarters. So that's my fear, or what I think they might be wanting at the trade deadline.
Yeah, if they were to acquire like a Clint Capella, that's chaos, man. Like, that would be such a mess. What happens then? You can't bench Shingun. You can't do that.
No. And at the same time, Capella's really good, right? So, like,
yeah, you can't bench him either.
Right. I mean, but what else can you do? Right. And you can't play him at the same time because they both can't shoot. Right. So it doesn't make any sense to me. It feels like the people who are fervently like really want this are the people who never believed in Shingun. To be frank, like when I read tweets about people wanting Clint Capella, I'm like, oh, this is someone who's never been like a Shingun guy. Right. And they're like reluctantly come around lately. And it's like, oh, OK, so now you want them to trade for a center. How convenient. Right, like the guy you never believed in, now you want them to go get someone that could perceivably play over him, right?
Yeah, I just want them not to have to run out Jeff Green or Jock Landale at center. That's all I want. I just want the guy behind Shingun to be a real center. And look, nothing against Jeff Green, but
I don't mind it though. Like I don't know. Like, maybe it's just me. I don't mind Jeff Green being a backup center. What is he on this team when it's fully healthy?
I don't know, he's just kind of the everything guy. Right. So, I mean, I like him as like an everything guy, but I don't want to see Jock Landale
again. Fair enough.
That's only the thing. Like,
yeah. Okay.
Like Jeff Green can't do that, right? He can play backup center sometimes, but he can't be... Him being your main backup center is like a weird misuse of Jeff Green to me. That, like, so, if that's what he is.
So I don't know how far sports science has come, in the past few years, right? I know the NBA's gotten like a lot of like cool medical devices, right? Like with sleeping, mm-hmm. sleep tracking, and like, you know, how fast you're running, and like all these cool stuff that they have, all these cool gadgets and gizmos. I wonder if you can get like Jock Vando like a shock collar, so whenever he gets an offensive rebound, he doesn't put it back up, right? He kick like no,
pass it out.
Yeah, yes, kick it out. Don't put that up. I don't care if a point guard is guarding you. I want you to kick that ball out. Like, it is the most terrifying thing in basketball to see Jock Landale getting an offensive rebound. I'm like, no, no, don't put it back up. Don't double jump. Don't double jump. Single jump. Right? Kick it out. But, yeah, sorry. I wonder if you can get Ime a shot collar for Jock Landale. Like, it's just an idea. The soft pitch to the Rockets.
I think that might be against the Geneva Convention, but it's worth a look.
It's worth a look, right? At the very least, you have a coaches meeting, right? Like at the very least, you have a meeting about it. But yeah, I'm with you. You can't have Lawndale playing backup center anymore.
Lost minutes.
I disagree with the Jeff Green thing, but okay, whatever. I mean, maybe you can go get someone. It better be of a certain caliber. You better not go too yeah. far with this, right?
That's the thing. They need a guy who is, like, as good as they thought that Landale was going to be, basically. Mm-hmm. Or a little better than that. Like you said, John Collins is, like, a good match because he's, like, fine. They need a guy who's fine. They don't need a guy who's good. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I mean, I'm sure every fan loves the idea of having like their 15 players be the 15 best players in the league or whatever. That's not how it works. That doesn't interface with the reality whatsoever. So, I'm trying to think of what else at the trade deadline. I mean, their own pick is at Ooh. Not count.
Oh yeah,
because no, they can't trade.
We can talk yeah. about this, right? Like, so, like the Brooklyn pick is really what I'm talking about. Like, yeah. so would you trade that pick? Right, because I think on last week's episode, I said I'd be open to it. But now it just keeps getting better and better. And Houston just looks worse and worse. Right, they're losing games. And it's like, do I really want them to trade that Brooklyn pick for a win-now player? Like, it's like, maybe just draft it? I don't know. I recognize how crazy that sounds. This team is stock full of young talent. And I'm not sure if it can handle more. But at the same time, like, I mean, if you tell me you have a chance at the number one overall pick, right? Because if you're seventh in lottery odds, you have a real chance at the number one overall pick. So it's like, do you want to trade that away? Is this lottery really that bad, right?
All right. As we get far in this podcast, do you want me to lay out a crazy idea to you?
Lay it on me.
All right. The question is, what is the Rockets' chances of landing a top four pick? Is if they keep... If they keep playing like this...
Oh, right. It's protected. Top four.
It's
yeah.
top four protected. Yeah. Right. So, here's the thing about the league right now, is that there's a lot of teams who are like medium. There's a pile of medium teams. There are so many 500-ish teams currently. And in the East, they look a little worse because the top end of the East is actually stronger than the top end of the West. We don't have to get into that. Whatever. But my thinking is this. Like, looking at the league recently, I've been thinking... There are, like, 20 teams who are pretty good, and, like, 10 teams who are not pretty good, which is unusual, right? Most teams are, like, plus teams right now. If the Rockets are, like, a slightly negative team, they might be, like, a top 8, like, lottery position pick. They, like, the Rockets literally might be, like, 12th or 13th in the West this year, even if they win, like, 38 games. They yeah. might have, like, even if they win, like, 38 games, they might have, like, the eighth best lottery odds.
I think it might take being a 41 team to get in the play-in tournament. I really think that's what's going to take in the West.
Yeah, I think it's 40. It might even be closer to 44, depending on how things go, depending on what the Warriors do, primarily.
Yeah, what the Warriors do, what the Lakers do, what the Jazz do. I mean, the Jazz have been on fire, too. And you wonder what they're going to do at the deadline. I mean, because they have some pieces they could trade away, but they're trying to do that same balancing act that Houston's doing, but in a different way. They have, like, more proven commodities. But still, you know, it is, like, going to be interesting to see what Danny Ainge decides to do, what he decides to extract. In that respect, like, it's going to be really tough, as you said, to make the play-in tournament. And so you have to weigh that with, like, trading for a win-now piece, right? Because it's like, do you want to do that? Like, do you want to give it, like, I wonder what the Rockets internally think of this draft. Because I know what externally what everybody's saying about this draft. But is it really that bad? Like, do the Rockets see someone that's like, oh, this guy could be a franchise-level guy? Maybe we should just keep the pick? I'd be very curious to see what they to know what they think.
I mean, all right. My proposition is that what if they just don't make any major win now moves? You know, what if you just see what you can get for, you know, your basically disposable assets? You right. move your Victor Oladipo, you do whatever you got to do there, but don't worry about win now. What if you just keep rolling with these young guys and see what you have? What if you don't worry about winning? What if you're like, fine, we're going to win like 35 games, we're going to win 35 games, and then we're going to have like two realistic shots at a top four draft pick?
Yeah, theoretically. I mean, you got to wonder how ownership feels about that. That's the problem, right? It's like, how patient is Tillman, right? Like, I'm with you. I think you should view that pick as a sunk cost that Houston has going out. I don't know if the Rockets are with you. Right, I don't know if they feel that way, right? So I feel like there's some pressure there to make the play-in tournament. I don't think it might be play-in tournament or bust, right? And I hope it's not. I hope it's not, because I don't want, again, we talked about this on the last week's show. I don't want heads to roll. I think they've done a good enough job for heads not to roll. I think Rafael should get a mild contract extension this summer. Right, I think he's done enough for like a you know, modest extension, right?
I think 9 out of 10 years, this is a play-in team. Like, honestly, probably no problem. This is a bad year to be decent in. It's a great year to be excellent in. Like, the top echelons of the league are like not really as good as they have been for a while right now. But the middle of the league is really fat, and so it's like a really bad year to just be kind of good. I don't think they're going to make the play-in. Like, I mean, maybe if they get... if everyone stays healthy from here on out, if some of the other teams, like, regress a bit, it can happen, but the current trajectory, I think, is them being, like, the 11th or 12th seed, probably.
I'm not all the way there yet. I think they have a coin toss chance of making the play-in, and I would lean a little bit to yes, right? I think... I really don't like this Lakers team, right? Now, the Lakers are going to make a move here pretty soon. So we'll see what they eventually round into, right? Like, I don't know if they're going to trade for a DeJounte Murray or a Zach LaVine, and that's going to definitely impact some things. But still, I don't like this team, and I kind of think there's a real chance Houston becomes better than that Lakers team. I don't know about this Jazz team, right? Like, I'm reasonably confident that they can at least compete till the end of the season for this spot. I don't think anybody's going to walk away with this, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the Lakers are probably the number one suspect for falling out, because they've so far had, like, the best injury luck they've ever had, basically. Like, LeBron and AD have been spotless this season. Anthony Davis is having one of his best seasons ever, and he's barely been hurt at all, which is great for him, but it's very unusual for him. Like, this is a Lakers team that if they get normal injury luck, they're in huge trouble. They've just been very, very lucky so far, which, good for them. You love to get lucky, but yeah, I think there's a very real chance that, like, Anthony Davis goes down for a month and then suddenly they just, like, go into free fall. Or LeBron runs out of the spirit that keeps his ancient body moving. Or whatever is going on. So, yeah. I'm worried about the Warriors coming up from behind. I think it's possible the Lakers fall from ahead. I'm even a little bit worried about the Grizzlies, honestly, who just keep trudging along and are only a few games... They're 3 games behind the Rockets, and they have had an unbelievably nasty season. I don't know how. I don't understand how they came back from being, like, 1-8 to be now, like, 17-22 or whatever.
I get it. Like... it looks precarious. I still think it's a coin toss, and I would still think that Houston has a real chance to the end of the season, right? Like, I still think it's not over. But
I think there's like a 10% chance they could win 40 games and be the 13th seed. Like, I think that is, like, on the table, which is crazy to think about.
Okay, so let's see what the statistical models say right now about their chances. Because I'm actually curious.
Okay. It depends on which model you look at.
I'm going to look at dunks and threes, their playoff probabilities.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Okay, so 3, 6, 9. So they have Houston at 39.9 wins, 10th seed. Barely edging out the Jazz at 39.6 and just under the Lakers at 40.7. So it looks like there's still some reasonable confidence in those Rockets numbers, right? Now, those numbers aren't putting into account how bad they've been in crunch time, right, as we talked about earlier. And they're losing a ton of these games in crunch time. It's hurting their odds actively. And so we'll see if they get some better crunch time performances. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. Like, here, if you're asking me what I'd like them to do with the deadline, I'd really like them to swing for a Brogdon, a Jeremy Grant, a Collins, right? A fringe starter or a starter or, like, a Harrison Barnes type. Like, I think someone who is going to help you soak up some minutes, provide good shooting, and be a good contract that you can move in the future. That's what I would like them to do. My fear is that they trade for a center. Now, the deadline is fast approaching, and rumors are still coming up that, you know, about, you know, these players are still, like, it seems like the Lakers can't make up their mind on what they want to do with the deadline, for example, right? Like, teams are still talking, and it doesn't seem like anything has really come to fruition other than the trades that we've already seen, you know. The trade for Pascal Siakam, the trade for OG Anunoby, right? Like, other than those trades, it seems like things are very fluid and we're going to get a very active trade deadline. So I'm very curious to see what happens because it would not surprise me at all if Houston decides to swing even bigger than what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think they would love to get an all-star caliber player. It's hard to do, but I have to wonder what they'd be willing to give up for that. I mean, here's the deal, is that if there were to be such a player available, which oftentimes you only hear about it until it happens, if there is such a player available, like, what would they be willing to give up? Like, what is nailed down? I kind of feel like it should be nothing, honestly, like, depending on the player. But the hope is that, like, it would be great if there was, like, you know, an all-NBA first-team level player who would be available, and then it can give up kind of whatever. You know, right. grab that guy, you know, as long, get him on a contract, and now it's suddenly things are different.
Right.
It's not available, though. Yeah. The worry is that there will be a guy who's not that good. Like, the biggest fear I think that every Rockets fan should have will be that...
Zach LaVine?
They do... Yeah, basically. And if they sell high on Alper and Şengün, that would be an absolute nightmare. Because you might think this is high, but this is, in my opinion, low.
I'm not exaggerating, Forrest. If they trade Alperen Şengün for Zach LaVine, I will stop doing this podcast. I will stop doing this podcast. I'm not sure if I'll roster the Rockets game again. Like, until they fire Rafael. Like, that
would be
right. Like, the
worst possible move.
Right. Yeah. That's where I'd be.
I mean, that would be go to, like, Tillman's house with signs and pitchforks or whatever.
Oh, I'd be passing out signs. I'd be passing out signs. You and I could be there. You can drive down from Austin, help me out. Like
hey, I'll bring the van.
Yeah, yeah.
Load them up.
Yeah, well, I'll bring tiki torches. Like, I'll go the full 9 yards. Right? Like, I'll go the full 9 yards to get this guy out of here. Right? Like, if they decide to trade Şengün for someone like that, I would be very upset. But, yeah, I mean, I do think we should keep all options on the table. Like, a Mikal Bridges, right? Like, that could still happen. And there's a lot of incentive for both teams to deal with each other, right? So, like honestly, sometimes, you know, Occam's razor with this stuff, right? Like, it would not surprise me if they just make a deal. It would not surprise me.
Yeah. Well, I hope they... I agree with you that I hope they make deals kind of around the margins. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should swing big unless something unreasonably big is out there, which it's just not. So, yeah, I think they should make deals around the margins. I think they have a lot of good and interesting players they need to keep developing. And it's tempting. It's very tempting to try to win now because of how close they looked at the start of the season and close they could potentially look later in the season. But I just think they need to be patient. That's it. In a word, my stance on this trade deadline is please have patience.
Yeah, be reasonable. Three words. Yeah, reasonable aggression, right? Not ruthless aggression. Yeah. Reasonable aggression, right? Like, let's make that a goal for the Rockets. I think it's fine if you want to make the play-in tournament. Let's not get carried away, right? Let's not get carried away about it. All right, guys. If you guys enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube. Give us positive reviews on all those platforms. Follow me on Twitter at SoMollyNBA. Follow Forrest on Twitter at DoNots, DUNOTS. And yeah, guys, or X, I guess it's X.
We don't have to call it X.
Yeah, I get whatever. Right, it's Twitter. It's Twitter. Yeah. All right, guys. Have a good night.